Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share the show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads, welcome, welcome, welcome back to me. Welcome back to you. Missed you guys, gals, extraterrestrials. Anyone who's listening, tuning in, anyone who's maybe tuning in on another dimension, missed you too. It's been a few days. I've been away in Northern Nevada. I was digging for opals, actually, at the Peacock Opal Mine, and took my nephew. It was for his high school graduation. My brother and myself gifted him a trip, and so we made it a little family trip with my son and dad and brother-in-law, et cetera. And it was a really, really good time. Found some opals, not huge opals, but some little opals. And it was, it was cool. First time I ever done anything like that. I think I would do it again and maybe even dig for some different types of rocks, gems, et cetera. So, yeah, I understand that Erica, Miss did an amazing job while I was gone. Let me put on my surprise face. I knew she would. So appreciate you, Erica, for holding down the fort and steering the ship while I was away. And I'm just really, really happy to be back. It's great to get a break like that, you know, not recording for like a week. And it gives me the perspective, you know, on how wonderful it is to have this opportunity to connect and share with you all in this way. And of course, you get a little mix up as well. It's always good to have some fresh insight and voices and perspective, and a lot of divine feminine running the show with Alexa as well on Fridays for the last week. And so, yeah, super cool. All right. So what did I learn? What did I take away? What, you know, as I typically do, what's bubbling up for me? And, you know, what was something that really had a big impact on me since we've connected last was listening on the trip. And I'm almost done with it. I'm probably 2/3 done with the book by Michael Singer, The Surrender Experiment. And you guys have heard me talking about The Untethered Soul for a while, his other book. I think he's got a few, actually, but those are the two biggest ones. And that one, I listened to most of it in the past and haven't finished it. This one is more like his life story. And it's such a powerful, story and lesson that is shared throughout. And I want to give a sort of a rundown of what it's about. And of course, some of you may want to go out and actually read or listen to the book in full. But before I do that, I would like to take a moment to read a review on iTunes. You guys know I love my iTunes reviews. Not only do they help us to reach new people, but certainly help to fuel my fire to continue this labor of love. So This one came in by Shelly in MS. Oh, wow. It looks like normally I have them pretty queued up, you know, where people leave reviews. And for the last few weeks, people haven't been leaving too many reviews. And the next one queued up, there's only one left. And it's like a one star bad review. And I've had a few, you know, it's almost what looks like 907 total reviews. And most all of them are five star, you know, some others sprinkled in there and a few one stars. But normally they don't actually leave what their thoughts are. You know, they just start without writing anything. And so after this one today, the only thing left is just this sad, you know, one star with someone just like grilling me on why they think, you know, my show sucks. But so now would be the time, if you've been thinking about reviewing, to go and help to save me from the bottom of the barrel here, this grim looking future on the review timeline. But for today, in the now, I've got one good one left. Shelly in MS. Shelly wrote, "A must listen. I have been listening to the Positive Head podcast for over a year and am immensely grateful for the expansive content and the passion Brandon brings to each episode. He has amazing guests, topics that challenge one to reconsider preconceived ideas, and as one might guess, positivity, which is much needed at this time. I highly recommend this podcast and have enjoyed tapping into the knowledge of the community on the podcast Facebook page. Thank you, Brandon. I love you so, 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 so much." Aw, thank you, Shelly. Love you, too. Thank you for taking the time to send some love my way. Definitely appreciate it. All right, so let's jump in to the topic. Let's talk a little bit about surrendering, this idea of, you know, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, but what I love about Michael Singer, you know, when I first was being turned on to his work, actually, I think it was a while back, my friend Michael Rostosky, who's been a co-host multiple times, and he was telling me, he's like, "Oh, Brandon, you got to check out the Surrender Experiment. I feel like you and Michael Singer have sort of similar paths in your life." And, you know, and he told me a little bit about it at the time and it definitely resonated. Then I checked out The Untethered Soul. You guys have heard me talking about that. I loved it. And now listening to The Surrender Experiment, his life story, I definitely feel like we have similar paths. I also feel like maybe in a unique way, kind of like yin and yang, like he is. Okay, so I'll start a little bit, and I'm going to give you the overview of the book and his story and the lessons that have really stuck with me so far, and I'm not quite done with it yet, but I'll probably finish it within the next few days because it's story form, and I love stories, as you guys know, but especially good ones, and this is his life story is a good one, and it starts, you know, in the 70s with him noticing this incessant voice in his head that's always talking, always chattering, always having an opinion, always, you know, just sort of, he became hyper aware of it, and it was driving him crazy. And he's like, "How do I shut off this voice in my head?" And he starts, you know, really, it becomes like his obsession to figure out how he can shut off this voice in his head. And ultimately, he ends up finding a book, The Three Pillars of Zen, and he starts meditating, and he ends up having like a sort of a breakthrough experience where he, you know, goes into this place of, you know, divine silence and peace and ecstasy and bliss. And he just, you know, one day he decides he's going to sit down on a retreat. He's not leaving until he becomes enlightened, he says. And he has this powerful experience. And it is like a huge breakthrough for him. And so then now he's, you know, the book starts off him, you know, realizing this voice. He wants to get away from this incessant voice in his head. He finds a way to do that. Then he becomes sort of obsessed with the idea of staying in that state. He basically, this guy's fascinating. I mean, you know, in some ways our paths seem very aligned with business stuff and everything else I'll touch on in a minute, but in other ways we're quite different. I mean, this guy really wanted to throw off. I'm someone who's wanted to like do all the things and sort of have so much life experience. He, on the other end, is like, "I don't want anything to do with anything other than being in this meditative, blissful state I found." Right. And he was very young, in his early 20s. This is going back into like around 1970 ish, when all this was beginning for him. And so he ended up getting a house and, you know, buying some property with a little bit of money he had. And just his aim is to just do nothing but meditate there all day, every day, and do as little as possible. And he kind of like, you know, he's getting his I want to say he's getting his master's at the time, and he kind of starts waning from that, like, you know, screw this. I'm not going down this path. I'm just going to sit in the woods and meditate. And so he does a lot of that. And what ends up happening ultimately is he realizes, you know, at some point that things are starting to bubble up for him, like things that want to come into and disrupt his meditation time, like them wanting him to teach at the, you know, the local community college, and things, people, and just keep coming into his field that are sort of trying to pull him away from that. And he has a realization that, you know, if he just is resisting whatever it is that they're talking about, like, no, I'm going to meditate, you know, in at my house. I don't care about this. I don't care about money. The guy like didn't care about any like material, anything. And then he realized, hold on, I'm listening to this voice in my head again. It's like it's steering the ship. It's telling me that I just want to meditate. And, you know, instead of, and he comes to this point where he realizes, well, what if I just, what if the path is really to just surrender to, you know, to everything? And I can't remember, you know, once again, this is just sort of like a high level recounting of what the book is about. Definitely recommend going to read it or listen to it for the full, you know, download. But, you know, I think it was maybe the autobiography of a yogi, which helped him with this piece of his realization. Like, you know, me wanting to just go meditate is listening to that voice. The voice is telling me, no, don't do this thing that this person is trying to pull on me to do. And I'm actually trying to get away from that voice, and I want to move into just completely flowing with life and what it brings for me. So instead of me always sort of deciding, having preferences, he decided he was going to ignore his preferences and his judgments and just flow with what the universe wanted to bring his way, what it wanted to put in front of him. And this really, you know, this one really stuck with me and jumped out at me, because as someone who's sort of been the opposite, a lot of preferences, like, to, you know, a lot of desires to do a lot of things. He only had one desire, and that was to meditate. I've had a lot of preferences and judgments and, you know, ideas throughout my life. And so this idea of truly surrendering to the flow of what is really, you know, it's like he did it at a whole nother level of anything. I've never heard a story of someone's life this much surrender. And that's, of course, why he called it, and he named it to himself at the time, the surrender experiment. I'm just going to surrender to whatever it is. I'm not listening to the voices, preferences in my head anymore, any of the judgments about it. I'm just going to sort of go with what is obviously the direction the universe is prompting me. And then the book is, you know, sort of what unfolded from this experiment. You know, now it started in the early 70s, and, you know, what the guy ended up doing, the things he ended up doing for a guy who only wanted to sit in the woods and meditate, what he's done is incredible. I mean, literally, he wouldn't want to take payment for things. He was just like not attached to anything. It really, really fascinating. And he ultimately, though, ended up, you know, being led to teach at the local community college. And he's like, OK, I'll do it. I'm going to go with the flow of what's being, obviously I'm being pulled to do, but I'm not going to, you know, spend a bunch of time planning. I'm not going to disrupt my morning and evening meditations. I'm just going to whatever comes through. So he becomes like this channel in ascension, in essence. And so people start, you know, at college, it becomes like his class becomes like the thing, you know, everyone wants to come here, and he's teaching all about, you know, spirituality essentially, and quieting the voice in the head. And, you know, people are overflowing coming to his class, and it just turns into this incredible synchronistic journey where he goes from teaching to, you know, then he built a property, a
house on his property. He just wanted a humble little shack to meditate in. Someone else came along and wanted to build something more grandiose. His friend who just got out of architecture school. And then, you know, so then that happened. And then from there, someone loved his work and came and said, hey, I want you to build me a house. And not knowing anything, no planning, like he just goes with the flow of this and ends up, you know, building this big company. And one of the cool synchronistic stories I'll share in there is, you know, he by the time he starts building small things at first, people are coming to him, you know, to do this. Then it turns into someone wants him to build him a house. He doesn't have the resources to build a house. He needs a loan. So he decides to get a loan. No banks will accept him. Then this one banker took a real interest in his loan request. In kind of came to his property and checked it out and ended up giving him this loan when really he wasn't qualified for it, for $20,000. This ends up leading to, you know, because this banker gave him this loan, you know, it ends up being a big company. That was like the seed capital to build the first house, and on it went. Like 10 years later, Michael is in a video store. You know, back in the day when you went and actually got videos for rent, I remember that. And he's browsing and, you know, he's got this successful construction company now and everything. And he hears the person behind the desk talking about how he can't get a loan to expand his video store or, you know, whatever he needed. And Michael thought that he looked really familiar. He's like, that guy looks familiar. So he gets talking to him. Turns out it's the same banker from 10 years earlier who out of nowhere just gave him this $20,000 loan he was not qualified for. And as Michael would put it, hey, I'm just going with the flow and the universe is providing what I needed. Well, here is that same banker who decided his hand at entrepreneurial venture. He left banking to start this video store. And he needed a loan, and happened to be talking on the phone at that moment when Michael is shopping about how no one will give him a loan to do what he needs to do. Michael then ends up, of course, he's pretty wealthy by this point. He ends up giving the guy needed $20,000, the same amount, ends up giving him a personal loan that he needed. I mean, what are the chances? He's in the store, it's the same guy, and the guy's on the phone talking about how he needs a loan. It just like crazy synchronicity after synchronicity as he just makes this lifelong commitment to ignoring his own preferences and judgments and just flowing with what is obviously the direction he's meant to go. From there, it went to a software software company. Felt so drawn to computers when they first came out. This is like 1979. He sees his first computer and he, you know, ends up learning how to program, and then people start coming to him. Hey, you know, he bought the computer from Rodeo Shack. Hey, some people would like help programming something. I know you've been really diving into that. He ends up writing bigger and bigger and bigger programs. One of the biggest, like the program for medical and insurance billing ended up being written by him in the middle of the woods with people, like in this totally unconventional way, and becomes this huge, you know, company worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And everything from him just doing flowing and putting his whole heart into everything that he did. And what he said he finally realized early on, there was all this inner turmoil. I just want to cut off the outside world and meditate. And he realized everything becomes a meditation when you put your whole heart and soul and you just follow where life is taking you. And you do it with your whole heart. And you guys have heard me talk about it before, where I've had, you know, sort of mixed feelings about some of, you know, my travel company, the entrepreneurial venture that is this incredible opportunity, growing a lot and all these things. But yet it pulls me away from doing more work in this realm, right? You know, I spend 7 hours a week on the podcast, and you know, I'm so blessed. It's been consistently in the top 10 in spirituality on iTunes with me not even putting in that much effort. What if I could put in all of my heart and soul, you know? And so that's been hard for me, and I've, you know, really had to come to terms with these two different parts of myself. And so this book has really helped me to realize, like, no, the universe has made it very apparent it wants me to do this other project. And yes, there will be a time for me to exit, But until then, putting 100% of my heart and soul into it, having mixed vibration is never the answer, right? And so this is a guy who's juggling lots of things, because very similar to me, because the universe is bringing lots of things to him. And so I just loved hearing this story, because it did really resonate with me in that way. And what I, you know, the biggest takeaway is how peaceful is it to approach your life in a way where you're no longer so concerned with your own preferences and judgments, and more of what is the universe making it obvious that is a direction for me to go, right? And I think the real, and then you think about this idea of, well, you know, having desires and with loose expectation. We talk about that a lot on the show. So really the dance becomes between preferences are going to rise at times, right? I think the real dance becomes between your preferences and finding the flow both, because you have some things where there's a preference that arises. But if you have a preference, in his case, it was always if he was having a preference against something that wanted to happen, like someone insisting that he teach at the school, which then, by the way, led to all these other great things. Someone insisting that he build a house when he was resistant to it. No, I just want to go meditate. But he followed. He learned to stop listening to that voice of why not, and just saying, okay, this is obviously a direction that is it's under conditions that are like sort of uncanny that this is coming up. And that's the times when he would ignore his own preferences and just go with what was being presented to him. And, you know, it moves from, instead of creating your life so much, just, you know, allowing it to be done for you. And I think that's a powerful, powerful place for us all to move into. I don't, you know, if I can stop all the inner turmoil in regards to, should I do this? Should I do that? Well, what is the universe showing me that I should be doing? What is naturally being brought to me? That just, it's obvious, even if maybe I have some ego level preference against it, I'm, you know, but it's obvious that it's being brought to me. I think there's a certain chord in his story. There's a certain chord, you know, where he's like, okay, I can see that this is like, you know, this is wanting to happen through me. And I don't really know why. And really, it's not even my preference to do it, but I'm now going to do it with my whole heart, mind, body, spirit. And then all these great gifts come up. So, doesn't mean if something comes to you that feels way out of alignment and seems like that you should then say, oh, well, this guy told me I should go jump off a cliff right now, so I'm going to do it. And, you know, I think that the dance comes between, you know, really feeling into what is being brought up in front of me and how much does it feel like, this seems, there's almost like when something's meant to happen, it's almost like a natural, unnatural flow to it. Like, hold on, this seems out of left field that this person all of a sudden called me and wants me to go to Tahiti. Like, and all of a sudden I got an email that same day or the day before showing I can get tickets for $99 to Tahiti, you know, or whatever. It's like, it becomes like this obvious kind of thing, right? And so instead of you, in those moments, instead of you listening to your internal preference, the ego mind, surrendering to the flow. I mean, the guy's life has been a breeze. All he's done, I mean, I'm not going to say he hasn't had challenges, but you know, all he's done is just follow the flow and do everything with his full heart, soul, mind, without all sort of preconceived ideas of, oh, I want to get rich from it, or I want to. The guy's very wealthy from all his success, I'd imagine. But it's never was even a concern for him. He's actually took all that money and invested it back into his land, which turned into his nonprofit organization that he actually founded in like 75 on his land, Temple of the Universe. And it turned into this established yoga and meditation center. And that was a part of the journey too, where all these big yogi famous teachers would come through and he was facilitating that. And just for a guy who didn't want to really do anything except for sit in the woods and meditate, the amount of things that were brought to him and that he made it a game to just flow with, it's an incredible way to approach life and a magical way to approach life. And so I know there's so many of you out there, you know, just unsure. It's something that we can all relate to, right? This idea of, I don't know which direction to go next. What is life trying to tell me? Where do I want to go? I have one foot in this and one foot in that, and working this job, but I really want to be doing this. And this is something that a lot of us have, you know, I hear this as a recurring theme over and over and over again between friends, listeners, you know, all kinds of people. And if you take this guy's approach and just say, hold on, I'm going to stop with all these preferences about, I have a preference to go do this, but really my life circumstances got me doing this other thing. It's that resistance that actually keeps you in that other thing, oftentimes, right? All the time. What you resist is always going to persist. So, you know, what he was doing was just saying, hey, my preference isn't to go become a builder, but I'm going to become a builder. My preference isn't to become a software developer, but I'm going to do that. And each time they turn into these flourishing, amazing projects, right? And so if you can just say, hey, where you are now, I'm just going to completely surrender to it because you're there. Right. And it is the stream has taken you there somehow, way, shape or form, maybe in a different way than he ended up. But it doesn't really matter. What matters is now. Right. How are you going to navigate on a go forward? Are you going to keep kicking and screaming? My preferences, you know, or maybe you now take and do the same experiment of surrender. Maybe there is a higher self, a higher force, an expanded version of myself that is bringing things to me. And my preferences have constantly had me at turmoil with what the universe wants to do through me and what my ego level preferences based off of minimal visibility into the grander scheme, because that's what would always happen. He had no visibility into what the implications of some of these small things were, and where they led was like the synchronicity that unfolded because it started ignoring his preferences and going with what obviously wanted to flow is incredible. And how simple it made his decisions. He's like, every time something would come up, oh, I'd see my preference. No, I don't want to do that. And then he trained himself though. Okay. But it's obvious the circumstances here. This is what life wants to do through me and where it wants to take me. And then he was always very glad it did. And he didn't listen. So to that small voice in his head, you know, rallying against the flow of the entire universe. And so that's really today. And what I want to talk about and what I want to leave with you is, you know, for me, it brought great comfort hearing his path as someone who has had some of that inner turmoil about, hold on, I want to do more of this sort of work. But yet the universe has me taking me in this direction. And you know, I've been doing that in my own way anyway, finding the peace with it and knowing that there will come a time when I can do more of this type of work and, you know, of the docuseries I want to do and whatever else comes up. That's related to consciousness and spreading awareness and, you know, helping to elevate myself and others. There will be plenty of time for that. And in the meantime, other projects have so many gifts that I'm working on. And so why resist where the universe is wanting me to go? That's just a torturous way to navigate reality. And of course, by accepting things, that's how we move through them too, right? So that's what I would leave you with today. I will leave you with today is just from this moment forward, I strongly encourage you to just surrender to the flow and say to higher self, okay, I get it now. You're going to just show me whatever in what you show me is the path to go may not necessarily be my ego level decision, right? The voice in my head, the incessant preference being the incessant preference voice that won't shut the hell up is chattering about what it wants and what it thinks and all those things. But I'm going to look deeper and see and trust the flow and let it take me where it will take you to the greatest and grandest version of yourself effortlessly, so much more effortlessly than trying to force anything through your narrow perspective on how to do it. And that's really the lesson in all of this, in his life, and that he's sharing it with all of us. And I'm so grateful for it. It really makes it easy to know that we can just float, right? You can literally learn from this moment forward to just float and trust and watch the magic unfold as things float to you that are meant for you. And your job isn't so much as to architect it as it is to experience it, right? And I believe that is the dance with our higher self, right? That we are here to experience. It is there to help bring the right circumstances, things, people, events at the right time. And if when we're in this state of receptivity and flow, it makes it way, way easier for our higher self to deal with this human. And your higher self is probably doing jumping jacks that you're listening to this episode, because it's like, finally, I can, like, we can get there, you know, without this little voice that's always resisting and trying to take you a different direction. So yeah, let's do it. I'm doing it. I feel so good. Makes my day really easy. I don't really need to force anything. I'm just going to flow with what where it wants to take me. And I have utter trust. And you should too, because you are infinitely loved and supported. I infinitely love and support you. Thank you for being. I do have a song to leave you with. This song is Float Up by the lovely Alyssa Rose, who actually is a friend. And we've been talking for some time of having her on to co-host. This is off her new album, Breath and Bones. And yeah, it would be lovely to have her on. We've talked about her coming on to co-host and maybe do an acoustic song at the end. So that would be cool to have something live, huh? So yeah. Oh, you know what? One other thing before I do leave that I just remembered, for any of you guys in the Los Angeles area and are looking for something to do on Halloween, co-host Christopher Jackson, my good friend, is has an event, Abundance, Neverland Halloween in Los Angeles on 10/26, October 26th. So if you use promo code POSITIVEHEAD, all one word, at theticketfairy.com, you get a discount. So I'm going to be there. I'd love to see any of your bright, shiny, happy faces that are in the LA area. And otherwise, this is Alyssa Rose, Float Up, from her new album, Breath and Bones. Till next time, float on. Love you all so, so much. Thank you.
jumped from the rocky port, and we let ourselves go with the water in mid-motion. Time stands still.
Time.